Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on our Bible on Business series. If you are new here, this is a series that we started last year. The Lord gave me the revelation that in this advancement of Christian entrepreneurship, that there are so many resources out there, so many coaches, classes, content, etc., about doing business the Lord's way, things that are supposed to be supplements people are using as their main nutrition. And He wanted us to go on this journey of this Bible on Business series so that we can realize that the Bible is truly our daily bread, especially when it comes to our businesses and everything that we need, from the vision, the operations, the team, the marketing, the sales, finances, is all right here in the Word. And so we have spent almost a year now exploring what the Bible says about various aspects of business, and I'm excited for us to continue on. Today, we are going to be discussing how to make spirit-led business decisions. Now, let me tell y'all how good God is. Y'all know I've been trying to figure out what is our next book club pick going to be. And it wasn't until, and actually I told y'all last week I was looking for an apologetics book. I wanted to really get back to, or for us to read something that discusses the foundations of the faith and defending the faith and all of that. And I was still just, you know, not sure which book to read just yet. So I'm just waiting for the Lord to reveal it to me as I continue my search. But it wasn't until I was preparing this episode that it hit me that we have to read a book that I love, okay, with a capital L-O-V-E exclamation point. I love the book Spirit-Filled Life by Charles Stanley. And I actually referenced it a lot when I was first reading it. I can't even remember how long ago that was, but this is a perfect opportunity, I believe, for us to get to the foundations of the faith. And a big part of the foundation of our faith is for us to live spirit-filled lives, because it's the gift. I mean, and the timing is perfect with us being in the book of Acts. We've already discussed Pentecost. We're talking about Holy Spirit-led decisions and business here. So I believe this is a perfect continuation on where we've already been in the context of the podcast. I'm excited for myself because I have some major transitions coming up. And this book is something that I personally need to revisit as a reminder to continue to trust the Holy Spirit and where He's leading me in this season. And I believe that I also make for some really good commentary that I can give as we go through this book together. For those of you who aren't familiar, again, the book title is called The Spirit-Filled Life: Discover the Joy of Surrendering to the Holy Spirit. The summary says, a wise, measured, and deeply passionate invitation to a spirit-filled life. Are you trying your best to be a good Christian, but still feel something's missing? Do the peace and joy you long for seem to elude you? Does following Christ sometimes feels like a lot of work, or like it's just not working very well? Much has been written and spoken and argued about the Holy Spirit and what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Charles Stanley cuts through the confusion and introduces you to a living person as real and active as God the Father and Christ the Son. Through personal stories, biblical exploration, and insightful explanation, he will help you discover who the Spirit is and how to develop a relationship with Him, who the Spirit isn't and how to avoid damaging misconceptions, how being filled with the Spirit actually works, what the Bible really teaches about spiritual signs such as speaking in tongues, how the Spirit can increase your capacity for faith, hope, love, and personal transformation, what it means to hear the Spirit's voice, how to make the most of your unique spiritual gifting to build up Christ's body, what happens when the Spirit's power is unleashed in your workplace, your family life, your friendships, and every other area of your life. In The Spirit-Filled Life, Charles Stanley reveals how to recognize and begin to live with the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can, as I said, I can vouch for this book. I could see on my Amazon right now as I was reading that I purchased this book in 2023. And so I am excited to revisit it and excited to revisit it with you all, of course. So go ahead and grab that book wherever you get your books. We will start next week with chapter one. I know some of y'all may be like, girl, I just listened to this. We're already starting. I'm only going to do one chapter first, so you'll have plenty of time to catch up if you don't listen to this episode in real time. But go ahead and grab the book. The link will be in the show notes. And I'm excited to reread it and to introduce it here on the podcast, because us living a Spirit-filled life is a non-negotiable, and is definitely a non-negotiable when it comes to our businesses. All right, let's hop into today's episode on how to make Spirit-led business decisions. It is my goal for this episode that you guys will walk away knowing how to hear God, how to recognize His promptings in your business, and how to fast and pray strategically when you need clarity for your business. So we're going to walk through a few places in Acts 8, Acts 13, Acts 16, that is going to show us how decisions were made by the Holy Spirit. And then I want to pull how this applies to us as entrepreneurs. Before we go to the first text, I want to tell you guys something exciting that happened today. Actually, before I recorded this podcast, we got an email for my business, Anchored Media Studios, saying that we received an award from Peerspace, which is a wildly popular platform that connects content studios, event spaces, production spaces, etc., with individuals that are looking to book. It's like the number one platform for that purpose. And of course, with the type of space that we have, it's in our best interest to be listed on there. And we've been on there from the beginning. So we got an email from Peerspace saying that Anchor Media Studios is receiving what they call their Open Doors Award, which is the award that they give to top spaces on their platform. So we got the email today that Anchor Media Studios was receiving one of their 2025 Open Doors Award as a top 10 space in Washington, D.C. And of course, that's quite exciting. I mean, who doesn't like to receive awards? My mind usually always goes to, okay, that's cool, but how is that going to result in money? You know what I mean? Thank you so much. And also, does that mean we're going to continue to grow our bookings and increase the bottom line? Like, that's where my mind goes, of course, as one of the owners of the business. But as I sat back, though, because I do have a bad habit of not taking time to really smell the roses and trying to skip over things as if they're not that big of a deal. And that's a trait of mine that I have to keep in check, because it robs me of the opportunity to glorify God the way that He needs to for everything that He does, whether it is results in the bank account changing or not. And so when I took a step back from, or checked myself really from, just dismissing it or acting like it's not that big deal until I see certain financial metrics being made, when I checked myself on that, I really sat and was just like in awe. And it was my husband that really just drove it home, because I had went and told him about it. And he was so excited. And I'm like, oh yeah, they gave us an award. Like, I'm acting like it's no big deal. And he was so excited and proud of what we have been able to accomplish. And it just reinforced as I sat there and just thought about what the Lord has done. When I think about it, and even on the show, I shared my journey and the difficulties that have come with this new type of business. I've been in the online space for a long time. This is my first time building a business with a physical location. And so it was a learning curve in so many different ways for me. But it's also shown me the goodness of God in so many different ways. If you haven't listened to that testimony episode, I'll link it in the show notes. Please go back and listen, because I go into great detail about the challenges, the specific challenges that we faced, and the specific ways in which the Lord has continued to bless that business. And I have to repent today, because I went to dismiss it as opposed to really sitting in the accomplishment. Yes, but just another example of the goodness of God that I could share with you all. Out of 50,000 spaces, we, Anchor Media Studios, this God-centered, unapologetic, God-centered, Holy Spirit-led business is top 10 in the DC area. You can't tell me that the Lord will not make your business successful just because you choose to build it off biblical principles. I'm so passionate about this Bible on Business series because I see the result and the fruit of living or doing business this way in my own businesses. I see the fruit of it in other Christian businesses, like the ones that we discussed last week, like Hobby Lobby, Chick-fil-A, Dayspring. The list goes on of successful Christian businesses. So as we go through this episode today and I talk about Holy Spirit-led decisions, don't just take it as something that sounds good in theory. I want you to really apply it. It's my goal that this episode breaks this down simple enough to where you have accepted that this is the only way, but you also have the tools to apply it to how you operate and grow and make decisions as it relates to your business. So the first place we're going to go is in Acts 8:29. To give you a little context, Acts 8 takes place during a time of significant transition in the early church. So after the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7, persecution broke out in Jerusalem that caused many believers, including Philip, to scatter and begin evangelizing in the surrounding regions. Philip, who was one of the seven deacons chosen in Acts 6 to serve the church, had just finished evangelizing in Samaria, where many people were healed and baptized. And you'll see that in Acts 8, 4 through 13. Now, let's start actually at Acts 8, 26. And then so we'll read a little bit before the main text of 29, and then we'll read a little bit after. I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation. It says, "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah." So here's the text that I want to highlight in this. Verse 29, "The Holy Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and walk along beside the carriage.' Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' The man replied, 'How can I unless someone instructs me?' And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?' So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him about the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?' He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing." Now, I read all of that and give that context because I want us to really understand the totality of what's happening here. As I said earlier, in Acts 7, that's when Stephen was stoned and a lot of believers began to scatter and disperse because they were being persecuted. But as they dispersed, they began to evangelize. So something that the enemy may have meant for evil with the persecution, the Lord used for good because they were able to effectively spread the gospel in places they may not have been had they not been persecuted. So it's obvious and easy to kind of see the Holy Spirit's hand and the strategy behind this. But it also makes what happened next confusing. And I'm sure it was confusing to Philip because, again, but he was out in Samaria with this powerful evangelism campaign and people were being healed and baptized. It was so fruitful. And you would think or assume in your natural mind that the Lord will just build off of this momentum. But that's not what happened. He gets sent to this desert road instead. Remember, verse 26 starts out with the angel of the Lord telling Philip, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he did. And this allowed him to have this encounter with the treasurer of Ethiopia, which, as we just read, led to him being baptized. Now, again, if you look at this chain of events and the circumstances, this may not make sense from a strategy standpoint, because how do you go from this massive impact in Samaria to then going down this desert road and only talking to one person? That doesn't sound like building on momentum. That doesn't sound like glory to glory, because we love to add scripture to our natural understanding. That doesn't sound like what we would perceive going from glory to glory to be. That doesn't sound right, but it's what the Holy Spirit orchestrated. And you may be a bit more understanding when you're only looking at this from a ministry standpoint, because you may understand, like, well, you know, God cares about the one. So the Lord has strategically set it up for him to meet this Ethiopian official and get him baptized and all of that. Amen. Glory to God. We want another soul for the kingdom. You may be understanding of it in this context, but what if the context of this, what if this is applied in the business context? Would you be just as understanding? If you went from reaching millions or hundreds of thousands of people to 1, 10, 20, 30, would you be just as understanding? Or would you instead start getting anxious, start getting worried, wondering, has God forgotten about me? Is something wrong with me? Is the Lord's hand no longer on me? What happened? Would you start looking for problems as opposed to having the posture of Philip, of being just willing and obedient to do whatever the Lord said, despite if it makes sense to you or not? Philip here was flexible. He didn't strategize or try to assume what was going to happen with this encounter. The angel gave him an instruction and he went. He was simply available. He was available and obedient to do what the Lord said. And the Holy Spirit provided the opportunity and the instruction. So are you going to be caught up in what you see when it comes to the ebbs and flows of your business? Or are you going to be available and obedient to how the Holy Spirit wants to move at any given time, even if that moving feels like it's backwards? And I've had to be checked in this area in business as well, especially when it's come to this podcast. This podcast at its peak was reaching I think the highest number that I've seen is 400,000 listens a month. We are not at 400,000 listens a month. And it's frustrating. There have been seasons where, you know, that there have been peaks and then there have been decreases and, you know, more podcasts come out. People's consumer habits change. And I've seen ebbs and flows of listens over the last 8 years that I've been doing this. But there have been a period where I'm like, God, what happened? Like, did I miss something? What happened? Did I mess up? It starts to mess with me internally because I'm like, What's happening? Because to me, doing something for the Lord means steady growth. There might be roadblocks. You might, you know, have some things that you have to overcome. You might take some losses here and there. I understand that. But the trajectory, though, overall should be consistently going up, in my opinion. That's not true. But how I feel like it should go is it should be steadily moving upward. So when something looks to be trending down that is so consecrated and dedicated to the Lord, it starts making me look at myself crazy. And where I landed at with that, because with that anxiety, it led me to so many things of, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? These are the trends. Should I do this? Should I do that? And the Lord has consistently said, no, Just continue to fight the good fight. Continue to do what I have called you to do. That's it. You don't need to do anything different. You don't have to conform to the patterns of this world. Just focus on renewing your mind and casting those cares onto me. And if I need you to do something different, I would. And for me, the Lord telling me that just allowed me to reel myself back in, to be available and obedient as Philip was, without the internal noise of my own perfectionism, my own achieving nature, being so loud, I can't hear God. And so now my mindset with anything, business, this podcast, anything, is like, you know what? Am I doing what the Lord said? Am I being pure? Is my heart right? Am I truly living what I'm talking about? If the answer is yes, the result is not my business. And I have to rest in that. And so do you. Because there's so many opportunities in business to get sucked right in to what you may see, what the trends are, what's going on. And all that does is pull you farther and farther away from being available and flexible enough to be used by the Lord. Now, let me show you why us reading this Bible is so important. Because we get full stories when we go and we read the text that can then inform us on God's character and allow us to have peace on the way in which our story is going to end. When we look at this encounter with Philip and the Ethiopian treasurer, we get the context of the outcome of that. So that if you are in that position where you go from hundreds of thousands of listens to one, two, three, or you go from hundreds of thousands of dollars to just barely making it, you can be encouraged because the same God who orchestrated this so strategically is the same God that's orchestrating your life just as strategically, and you just have to be available and obedient. So if we go to the text, first of all, this was just precise timing of the Lord, where the Lord directed Philip exactly where this Ethiopian treasurer was, who was reading the book of Isaiah, who had questions, and now he has someone who is able to appropriately minister to him and answer those questions. So much so to where he got baptized right there as soon as he saw some water. The Lord divinely orchestrated that at the perfect time to win his soul. Now, you may look at it as just one, but check out the global impact that came from this. This encounter was not just about one man. It was not just about him. This marked the first recorded conversion of a Gentile from Africa and an early step in the global expansion of Christianity. So this allowed Christianity to be taken into a whole nother continent. Philip saw one man. God saw and orchestrated an opportunity for nations to be reached. And Philip ain't even have to go to Ethiopia. The Lord just let him meet that one Ethiopian man, allow him to get baptized, and then he's going to take the gospel back to his land. So imagine how much time and energy and resources and money that Philip was saved by not even having to go. He just had to move when the angel of the Lord told him to move, meet that one man, and then that one man go and take the gospel to his nation. Like, I have to calm myself down because this is so exciting to me. There is nothing that no third-party source via a book, a podcast, a program, whatever, is going to tell me that is more exciting, more encouraging, and more spot on than this text is telling me right here. Because your flesh will tell you, oh, only one person is listening to my show. Only one person's watching my YouTube video. I only have one client. So what I'm doing isn't meaningful. He talked to one person. Philip, in this instance, talked to one person that had global impact. That one listener, that one viewer, that one client, you never know the way in which the Lord is going to divinely orchestrate that. So rejoice and be glad in the one. And rejoice and be glad in the one who brought them to you, because he always has more up his sleeve. And we can get excited about that. This level of precision only comes from the Holy Spirit. That's why our little strategies and tactics and our education and all of that that we have, these skills that we take so much pride in and we poke our chest out about, they're cool. They'll get you some results. They'll get you some growth, but it will never multiply the way that an instruction from the Lord will. Never. You will always be selling yourself short if the Holy Spirit is not instructing you on what decisions to make. Or if you allow what you see to keep you from being flexible and willing to obey. Now, before we move to the next piece of scripture, something I always think hard about when preparing the notes for this podcast, because it's my goal that this isn't just something that's going to hype you up, but this is something that will click and that you can apply so that you can see the Lord move in your life and business. So it's not just about how great this episode was, but it now becomes experiential because by you applying what you've learned, you've seen the Lord move in your life and in your business firsthand. So one thing that I like to do is really sit and think of what it can potentially block this from being internalized and implied by the or applied by the listener. And so when I thought about that for this, some of you, and I hear this often when I talk to you guys, whether it's online, DMs, emails, or in person, you may be thinking, okay, well, Tatum, how do I know that it's God telling me to do this? How do I know it's Him telling me to pivot and not my own thoughts or my own unctions? If that's you and you're not sure how to know if it's the Holy Spirit giving you this instruction or some other source, I want you to understand three things. God's voice always aligns with scripture. You have to be in your word. I'm not talking about the little verse of the day that pop up on the Bible app that you read and keep it pushing. No. If you use that, read it and then open up a study Bible, read the full context of it, not just that. So because pay attention to how we study it even here, to where the main text that I was trying to communicate was Acts 8:29. But I had to give you what happened in Acts 7 so you can know what's happening in Acts 8. I had to start at verse 26 so you know where we at before we even get to verse 29. And I had to read a little bit after so that you understand the result of what verse 28, is talking about. And so you have to do the same thing. I had to research the cultural context and overview of what was happening in this time so that I could be able to tell you that, oh, no, that Ethiopian then went and took that back to the continent of Africa. And this was the impact of how the Holy Spirit moved there. All of that comes from studying, not just reading a line here and there, not just these bite-sized pieces of stuff that sound like Christianity. You have to be somebody who's opened your word and is dedicated to studying it, where you're not using "I don't understand" as an excuse when you could figure everything else out. You can't be somebody who makes excuses, who procrastinates, who says that they want to get closer to the Lord, but doesn't do anything to actually draw nearer to Him. You have to pursue Him. He's always right there, waiting with open arms, wanting to give you revelation, wanting to point you in the right direction and to organize your steps to get you the resources and the things that you will need to help you better digest the word. But are you going to be someone who is committed? Period. So that's the first thing. If you don't know if this is you or this is God, get committed to getting to know God. And you do that through His scripture, His word that He left us with. And the more you do that, the more you'll easily be able to identify. You'll easily also be able to identify when there are other factors in play. Maybe it's emotions, maybe it's circumstances, maybe it's the enemy, but you'll know how to navigate and clear out the noise so that you can hear Him. You'll know how to recognize when it's the enemy playing tricks on you and not God. I had a dream actually this week. There's something I'm believing in God for right now. And I had this dream that the worst case scenario that happened, that can happen, and what I'm believing in the Lord for happened. And immediately in my dream life, I was getting frustrated and flustered, like, God, I thought I heard you on this and all of that. When I woke up, I woke myself up because I could tell that I was dreaming. I woke myself up and I was like, oh, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. And I went back to sleep and I slept well. But if I wasn't someone who was in my word, who spent time with the Lord, who was committed to him, I could have been up all night like, man, is that God giving me a sign? Is that him showing me that that wasn't him giving me the instruction before, that that this is going to happen to me? It could spark so much fear and frustration and anxiety. But I immediately recognized that this is not my God. This is the enemy trying to plant some seeds of doubt. And I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I'm going back to bed, period. So again, are you going to be committed? Secondly, when you hear from the Holy Spirit, it brings about peace. I did an episode, man, I can't even remember. If y'all ever want to reference an episode, I mean, we got 8 years worth of content here. So if you ever wanted to see if I talked about something on the show, you can always go to blessedandbossedup.com. There is like a feed on the homepage of the show, and you could type in a word and it'll pop up based off if it's like in the show notes or something like that. So go there and type in peace and it should pop up. But I did an episode, I believe it was last year sometime, talking about the peace that comes from hearing with from the Lord and how it's different than how we may perceive peace. When the Lord gives you a direction or an instruction, the peace that comes with that is an inner knowing, an inner assurance that this is what I got to do, despite how your flesh feels about it. Because your flesh won't always be at peace with what the Lord tells you to do. You might be anxious. You might be a little stressed out. You might be sad and upset. You won't feel always the flesh physical peace when you hear from the Lord. And if you're looking for that as a sign that you heard from the Lord, then your discernment is off. There is an inner knowing and an assurance that comes. That's the peace that I'm talking about that comes from hearing from the Lord. And again, that will come with a lot of times your flesh not being at peace. But that doesn't mean that that's not God. That just means it made you uncomfortable, and that's okay. So go back and listen to that episode, because I went into a lot more detail than I'm willing to go into here. And lastly, if you're that person struggling, is this the Lord? Most of the time when the Lord asks you to do something, it requires faith. It requires you to step out and trust him. If you want some examples, go to Hebrews 11, the hall of faith at the bottom. Give you a list, a full list of people that you can study who stepped out on faith. Go study this scripture in Acts chapter 8. We started at verse 26 and read to, I want to say, 30 or 31. And look at how Philip just did what the Lord said. It wasn't no back and forth. It wasn't no dialogue. The angel ain't have to tell him, be not afraid, as you hear. We've heard so many other times when an angel of the Lord comes to speak. But it requires faith. So again, you're in that position. You're struggling to know who is giving the instruction. God's voice always aligns with scripture. It always carries peace. And most of the time it requires faith. As you're learning to discern and obey the voice of the Lord, something else that you could do is journal. I often suggest journaling because it allows you to really document and tap into what the Lord is doing at any point in time. Discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit, especially earlier on and as you're growing in your faith, and even as, I wouldn't even say just early on, but even as your life gets busy and more noisy, is that much more important for you to force yourself to be focused and present and tapped in so you could see how he moves. We've talked about on the show plenty of times that, or see how he's moving. We've talked plenty of times on the show before about how, yes, the Lord comes in these grandiose manifestations of his presence. He comes in the earthquake. He comes in the fire. He comes in the storm. But he also comes in a still small voice. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. And so sometimes he's going to knock you upside your head and really is going to be undeniable. Sometimes he's going to be like, hey, daughter. Hey, son, do this, do that. And you have to be paying attention enough to hear him even when he's whispering. And a great way to do that, I believe, as you're just getting into the flow of things, is to journal. And also when you're busy, to journal, because it forces you to tap in to what's going on. Something that I did early on in my walk as I was growing in my relationship with God is I would write down everything that I thought I heard the Lord say. I would write down all my dreams I would have. I would write down any downloads that I got and just any prayer requests that I had. Like, I would write everything down. And then I would go back and record updates. To where the Lord told me to do this, and I don't know, but I'm going to just do it and we'll see. And then I'll go do it, see the result of it, and then come back and update my journal. And I would go as far as put like a sticky note on these individual pages so that they were easy for me to reference in all the 50 million other things I was journaling about. But I had these little sticky note tabs where I could go back and reference like, oh, the Lord came through here. Man, the Lord came through there. Oh, yes, that was God. Oh, no, that was not God. Man, I can't tell you how many times I thought that I had met my husband. And in them journals, I had to go back and be like, girl, that was not the Lord. I had to go update, like, abort, psych. That was not him, girl. Move on. But it's great to be able to write it down into journal so you can recognize when it is him, and also recognize the patterns of the enemy, because the enemy is predictable too. He really is. He knows what will get to us, and he uses various degrees of the same tactics. And so again, being aware and present and documenting is very helpful as you continue to build up your faith muscle of doing what the Lord says. I'm looking at the time and we have 35 minutes. That was only one of the texts that I wanted to discuss. There are actually like, I want to say 3 or 4 total, but because of the time, this is going to be definitely a multi-part episode because I'm not skipping over nothing for the sake of time. Like, we're really going to take our time with this because this is so important to our entrepreneurial journey. And it is so obviously objected with all of the other voices that are tempting us to follow them as it relates to our business. So I want us to be thorough and clear and truly applying, following the Holy Spirit in business so that we don't fall into the trap. So I pray that this episode has blessed you. Share it with a friend who needs to hear this. Leave us a 5-star review if this blessed you. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.